Hi, this is Amy.
And this is Andrew, and you're listening to the AADL Productions Podcast.
Today we're speaking with writer and Ann Arbor historian Grace Shackman. Grace teaches local history at Washtenaw Community College, and she's written articles for the Ann Arbor Observer, the Old West Side News, and other area publications for over 30 years. She's also written several books on local history, including Ann Arbor Observed, Selections from Then and Now, featuring articles from the Observer. These and over 100 other local history articles are now available online at aadl.org/aaobserver.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started writing local history articles and writing for the Observer in particular?
Yes. I started writing for the Old West Side News just because I was living in the Old West Side, and I remember very distinctly a day when I was outside with my kids, when they were at the age where you had to be outside when they were outside, and I was telling some friends about the guy across the street telling me that he remembered when he had to get water at the corner of Crest and Liberty, and how the street was a dirt street and there were flowers growing in the middle. And I just said, isn't this interesting that Mr. Bauer told me this stuff? And they were saying, well, you should write for the Old West Side News. So I went to a meeting, and, you know, they got me writing. And what was so interesting was right away I got so much feedback from young people interested, but also older people calling me up and saying, well, my dad had a dairy. Well, did you know there used to be a school where they taught in German? Things like that, or people, younger people saying, well, how come Ba School is named Ba School? I mean, there was just this tremendous interest, and it seems like from the very first, I never ran out of ideas because people were always asking me questions or giving me great leads. And then when I got going with this, people were also saying, well, you should be writing for The Observer. This is the kind of stuff they have. And Mary Hunt, one of the founders of The Observer, was real interested in local history, too. So I remember one day getting up all my nerve and calling them up, and that's how that started. So I started writing articles for them, and the rest is history, as they say.
So over the years, you've written about many, many different topics. What stands out as one of the most interesting discoveries that you made?
Oh, you know, articles that I really, really like are things like, I find I really like architecture. I love an article I was able to write about the, I think it was a real good experience to be able to write about the Frank Lloyd Wright House. And another thing that stands out is something I really liked doing was the Underground Railroad. I just learned so much from that. But it's so much fun when these things that you know on a national level to discover that it happened right here and with, you know, landmarks that are right around here.
And particularly like the Underground Railroad.
Yeah, and things that make sense. Like the Underground Railroad, I noticed that African-American people I knew, if they came from Canada, they were sort of proud of it. Or, you know, I'd say, well, our family came from Canada. And then it began to make sense that it was because they escaped to Canada, and that was cool.
Do you still get suggestions from people? Do people still call you
up
and say, what about this?
Yes, I have a list so long you wouldn't believe it.
Really?
Oh, yes.
So what can we expect to see you write about soon?
I've got to have a good discussion with John about what to do next. But yeah, I always have things that I want to do. And my classes, too, feed into it now that I've been teaching at Washtenaw for about 10 years. And my students often have ideas. Like one time in a class I had Peg Canham, the widow of Don Canham, who was the athletic director. And she was working on cleaning the cemetery where he was buried. And then it turned out Gerald O'Connor was buried in the same cemetery, and Margaret and Peg were friends. And so that ended up to be kind of a fun article about how they were restoring the cemetery. So, yeah, I mean, everything sort of, the two go together.
Right. So we're putting together this online version of, last count was over 130 articles in total from the book, Ann Arbor Observed, as well as from older editions of the Ann Arbor Observer. And I'm curious if, for somebody coming upon it, all of these articles for the first time, browsing through or searching through, what do you hope that they'll discover? What do you hope that they'll experience when they're...
Well, you know, somebody once said to me at a party that he thought what he liked about my articles is it made Ann Arbor seem as interesting as like New England or something, you know, that we had a real history.
Well, we do, don't we?
Yeah, we do. It turns out we do. We think of it, you know, the Revolutionary War and the Battle of Bunker Hill and stuff. But, well, yeah, we have our own version of everything.
How has Ann Arbor's view of its history changed over the time that you've been writing?
I think people are more aware of the history. And it's gotten to be a much more diverse community. So people are interested in that. It's gotten, actually, you should ask me the question going further back, because like I get the idea of people growing up in Ann Arbor, older people, 80s, 90s, that it used to be a very divided. The west side was working people, the east side was university people, and maybe a few lawyers and doctors. And now everybody is more mixed up. I think it's part of the 30-year thing is, if you didn't, after you graduated from U of M, if you didn't get a job at the university, there really wasn't anything for you to do. But now there are all these companies that are technical companies, that computer-type companies that people get jobs in, and there aren't really so many factories at all. So the people who aren't connected to the university have a similar educational level, and everybody gets along. I remember talking to somebody who had grown up in my neighborhood in the Old West Side, saying if we went on campus, it was like sightseeing. So it's much more diverse. When I was first here as a young mother and wife, the most exotic restaurants in town were the Old German and Leo Ping's, a Chinese restaurant. Now we have this explosion of restaurants. So, yeah, it's been a huge change over the last 30 years and even more, 50 or 100.
So is writing about early Ann Arbor almost like writing about two different towns that were connected, but different places entirely?
Yeah, exactly. It certainly is, right. When I first started writing in the Old West Side News, it was about the working people, all these Germans who came and were trained in apprenticeships on carpentry and masonry and tanning and all that stuff. And then it wasn't, when I started writing for The Observer, then I was writing for a bigger, all the town.
Right.
But then, yeah, when you do stories about people on the other side of town, they were doctors or they were like wonderful architecture. Like mm-hmm. the Old West Side is more like vernacular architecture. But then you go over to the other side and you get these wonderful architect-designed houses, real interesting stuff that way. And the university has a fascinating history. I could write a lot more about the university, too.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history of some of the restaurants and the local social hangouts around Courthouse Square or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a trend that's much more than 30 years, but where all the businesses were right around the Courthouse Square, and now they've all moved south. And certainly it's been a big change that all the stores aren't stores anymore. They're all restaurants. I mean, I wrote a lot of articles about specific businesses where they were second and three and four generations, like Fiegel's Menswear. And now it's not there anymore. Or Enos and Sons, where they did, it started as a harness store, and then when horses sort of went out, then they started just selling farm clothes. Mm-hmm. And then in the 70s, when hippies started wearing Peter pants stuff, they started getting people coming down from the university. But yeah, that was a real rich source, was these people who were in the same business for not just their whole life, and I'd be talking to them when they were fairly old, but their father and grandfather. So they just had enormous history and old pictures and everything. Yeah, all that's gone. It feels sort of, like I'm glad I caught what I did, but I wish I'd caught even more. Or like the Ann Arbor Art Association was a carriage factory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Walker and carriage.
Yeah, and then in the 80s, I found the guy whose father had been one of the owners. It was Walker and Brown, the German spelling of Brown, Braun. And I found a Brown who was who remembered it from his childhood, you know, because he'd been in there when he was a kid. And he said, "Oh yeah, they had a carpentry shop where they made the things, and then an upholstery shop where they made the seats, and a blacksmith shop where they did the." Wheels, and you know, just he knew the whole process, and he could tell me from memory. They made every time someone came in and ordered a carriage, it was done specifically to their specifications. It wasn't a production line thing at all. Yeah.
Your articles are really peppered with those people who have memories of specific instances, who remember them. How do you find those people?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I love it when I find those people. I think that's my theory, that what makes a good article is have it grounded on real facts, you know, dates and stuff. But if you read an article that's just those kind of facts, you go to sleep. So you got to have people telling you. But the real, I mean, you've got to have the facts to make it authentic and all that. But it's the people that make it, like, meaningful. Because the question you're really asking yourself is not, what year did this store open? You're asking yourself, what was it like to run this kind of store? What was the stuff in it? What was the feeling of people going into that store?
One of the articles you wrote was on the little history of the Ann Arbor Art Fairs.
Oh, yeah.
And as you know, their 50th anniversary is coming right up.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if you have any specific recollections of art fairs that you had witnessed.
Yeah. Oh, I still remember going. I worked at Perry Nursery School, which was then on Washtenaw, so we had this secret parking place, but it was sort of hard to park, you know, near there, but still you could do it. But it was just those couple blocks long, and you ran into everybody you knew. Now you don't see anyone you know. And then I remember walking with my kids, you know, fast forward when I wasn't working at the nursery school, but I was a young mother, and walking downtown with my kids to do a volunteer thing at one of the political booths. But anyway, I remember I was walking with them, and we were noticing all the licenses on the car, sort of thing you'll do with your boy. But, you know, oh, look, there's Oregon, there's California. You know, and now we're used to that idea, too, that they people come from all over the country. But then it was like a sort of a surprise. Wow, look at all these people coming from so far away.
So were you here then during when it not right when it first started, but in the mid-70s then was when you first got here?
No, I was here I was in school in the 60s.
Oh, in the 60s, okay.
So I do remember I even remember when it started, or early on anyway.
What's up with the fish?
The fish?
Everywhere, and I have no idea what the fish means.
No, that's a good example of people thinking, I know everything, and I have no idea.
I actually know the answer to that one.
I was looking for an answer. I didn't really care who it came from.
The fish is when they were first putting on the art fair. I can't remember his name. One of the people who was putting on the art fair had a whole bunch of these Japanese fish that he just kind of couldn't get rid of. He had nothing to do with them. So he said, well, we'll hang these all over the place and we'll make it into our logo. And then
wasn't it on South U or something?
Oh, I wonder
it was on
it was.
South U.
There,
yeah.
There was a really nice gift shop. It was, it's not coming to me. It was like, on this side there was John Leidy's, and on that side there was that one. It was run by two guys.
Yeah,
you mean
right.
On Liberty?
No, on South U.
Oh, we're on South U, okay. Yeah.
And they were the artisans.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so was he the one that had the fish?
Yep. They just had to do something with them.
No, that's a great idea.
But they talked about how they strung, like, cords from parking meters to hang stuff up, and how they put things in the stores at night to keep
them
safe,
yeah.
So they didn't have to lug them back and forth every day.
Yeah, it was a pretty low budget operation. there, you know, it was just
whatever to get it going.
It was cobble it together. Yeah.
Well, there was just the display downstairs, so everything has fish. It's whether it be the Japanese fish wind socks, or, you know, the brochures had fish on them. And I was just, you know, talking about it with the historian. I was like, all right, well, this is the chance to get that in.
Yeah. You don't think about Ann Arbor as a fish town, right?
No,
you're not
we don't.
Like fish.
We don't have a harbor.
Yeah,
have a river, but yeah.
It is bizarre to look at, you know, I mean, it's only been 50 years, but where that started and what it is now. I realize 50 years is sort of a long time, but when you consider that it's something that goes up for 3 or 4 days once a year, I mean, the number of days that the art fair has been open, when you look at that first one compared to what it is, just this international thing that it is now,
it's
sort of astounding, you know?
But, you know, too, if you look at the history, it makes sense that it would start at South U, but then it makes sense that it would leave South U, because South U used to be sort of like a real cultural center, like the store Artisans is where you go for wedding gifts, and there was a campus theater there, and that was where you'd line up to see a Fellini movie or a Bergman movie, and now that's a mall or something.
Yeah, I saw Dune there. Oh, well, so much before.
Hey, you got
right
Lynch.
Before it closed, right before it closed in the 80s.
That's fine.
But now it's just the student-y sort of stores, right? I mean, townsfolk don't even go over there very much.
Right.
No. Have there been any neighborhoods that have retained a lot of their texture and feel over the last 100 years?
Well, I think it's real interesting. The Old West Side is not the German working people. It's no, I don't even think there was a time when if there was an old person in the neighborhood, that person would be German. But now it's young families moving in, and it's a whole mix. When we moved in, it seemed like it was changing a bit. There were a lot of public school teachers there because they could afford to live there. But now we have gas professors and lawyers. But they sort of self-select for people who want a down-to-earth, normal neighborhood where kids can walk to school and all that. But, yeah, I think it's real interesting how neighborhoods are important to people in Ann Arbor. The old Fourth Ward is an attempt to try to be more of a neighborhood and not just a student ghetto. And I hope they manage with this Germantown area there's a developer that wants to do a big development over there, but if they can stop him, because the nice thing about Ann Arbor is you have this downtown, but then you just go a block away and you get to a nice neighborhood.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, along those same lines, is there, being a champion of local history, is there something currently that is being discussed, aside from this that you had just mentioned, but anything currently being talked about changing that you would like to see stay the same or be preserved?
Well, I think it's a real interesting dichotomy that you don't want to, you don't really want to go back to what I said about having only two ethnic restaurants and the town polarized. That wasn't so good. But there's got to be some way to keep this such an interesting place, but still a place, a down-to-earth place that has neighborhoods and has friendships and has a real cohesion to it. So that's sort of the, the frisson. Like, I'm not against having some taller buildings downtown, but I don't want them out of downtown.
Mm-hmm. I know that I'm a very recent transplant Ann Arbor. I've lived here under 5 years, but right now is a very strange time because the things that even new people know as established things in Ann Arbor, some of them are starting to go and some of them are starting to change. You see the condos going up, places like Shame and Drum closing
up.
That's and
so sad.
It's strange to be in a place, even the addition that they're putting onto City Hall, it's sort of strange to still consider yourself in a way new in a place, but then be looking around and saying, things are changing and I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. See that's sort of the push there, and people have strong opinions and they don't seem any better here than anywhere else able to mediate them. I mean, there are some things where one side wins and one side loses, but there are a lot of things that you could come to an agreement if people would do that.
But I'm sure 100 years ago it wasn't really any different and that people weren't too happy with the changes that were going on in town, right?
Well, I get the feeling even like the time when I first was interested in politics and stuff, that there was more like a ruling elite, and at least we don't have that anymore, that it's a wider discussion and more people feeling empowered. I mean, like I was in politics for a while, and older, I was a county commissioner, and older women who were in politics told me when they were in politics, this was like maybe the 50s when women didn't work, but they were, of course, just as smart as men. They would, what they would do is they'd find some figurehead man, like maybe a professor, to run for an office, and then they would do all the work. They would do all the research, write the position papers, write the brochure, tell them what to say at the debates.
Have you written about any of these women?
No, actually.
Come on,
not.
Grace. We want to know.
See, that's why I never run out of ideas, because there's always more. Of course, the trouble with all this, it gets more interesting after almost everybody's gone somehow.
That's a lot easier, yeah.
Or something you don't think of writing about, like ranch houses.
Right.
Yeah. And so pretty soon, but everybody who designed ranch houses will soon be gone. that kind of thing. It's not like a decision you make, but it just happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever written about anything that was, you know, a controversial landmark or something of the sort that you're taking a position on it that made a difference, that changed the views of?
Well, I've been told that writing about things has made people want to save things more or more interested in preservation. Like I did, this wasn't for the Observer, I did an article about for the OSI News about the Student Publications Building, because it was designed by a real good architect, two brothers, Pond and Pond. And then a friend of mine who was the one who got sort of, you know, gave me the access, he and his fundraiser got really into fixing it up authentically, and they said they probably wouldn't have if I hadn't written about it. So, you know, that made me feel good. I wrote about Avalon Housing once, and I pleased that I could do that because I'm a big fan of Avalon Housing. But I hope in a sort of general way, not just specific issues, but just a general view, I hope comes through that, you know, that everything is important or that all ranks of society are important. And, you know, I like being able to write about some of the working class people who might not think they're making history, but the kind of work they did was real interesting. Not just write about George Washington or whatever.
You can read all of Grace's articles on Ann Arbor history from the Ann Arbor Observer online at aadl.org/aaobserver.
You've been listening to the AADL Productions podcast.